Every year around this time, Father Matt asks me to preach at all of the masses on some weekend. Given that school has gotten back into session and the parish's formation initiatives are also starting to take off, Father Matt's request for me to preach has been rooted in his desire to instruct you, the faithful of St. Anne, both about how we do formation in the parish and why we do it the way we do. An explanation that goes beyond just, this is what Bishop Condorla told us to do. And it's meant to get at the heart of what Catholic formation is and why it's important and why it's especially important for you to participate in it. This homily I deliver around this time every year thus tries to provide some of the formation it describes, to invite you to sign up for Holy Homes and Sacramental Prep and Youth Group. And it serves as a kind of pep talk, hopefully igniting something within your hearts and spirits to move you more closely to the Lord and to work to move your families more closely toward the Lord. And while I don't think I can say outright that this year and this homily will differ from those noble ends of previous years, I have to admit that the Holy Spirit this year is leading me in a rather different direction. Many of the formation initiatives of the parish are directed towards those families with young children. It's a tremendous blessing that St. Anne has in the last 10 years exploded with families with young children. So don't get me wrong about that. But young children are not the only parishioners who need formation. Parents with young children are not the only parishioners who have the responsibility to form and to be formed. In years past, this homily I've given around this time has targeted a small portion of the parish. And in so doing, I'm afraid it's missed the much larger portion of our parish. And it's the whole of the parish I want to target because, as a whole parish, we have a big, big problem. In conversations with people who know about our church, and when I say our church, I mean the bricks and the mortar of the building itself, I've been told that if we squeezed as many people as possible into St. Anne, with every pew full and every person elbow to elbow with their neighbor, in such a way that they're not exactly sardines, but they also can't really spread out, we could fit, at most, 450 people. With that figure, I'm not counting the people out in the narthex or in St. Anne Hall. I mean, within the walls of the church proper, 450 people. So, at any given mass, at maximum, our church can hold 450 people. We have four masses each weekend. Simple multiplication reveals that the parish of St. Anne can accommodate, at maximum, 1,800 people every weekend. On Friday, I asked in the office what the total number of St. Anne parishioners is, and that number showed me, and I'm sharing this now with you, what the extent of the problem is. As of Friday at 9 a.m., St. Anne has 4,062 parishioners. That means if every Mass is stuffed to the gills, we can accommodate a little more than 44%. Of the people registered in our parish every weekend. Things standing as they are right now, that means that the parish of St. Anne, by schedule, cannot serve the needs of at least half of our registered parishioners, the need that they have to go to Mass every weekend. There are at least 2,262 parishioners who aren't here every weekend. Now, every Mass is not stuffed to the gills, and we do not have 450 people at each Mass, so the number is really higher than that. But that number, 2,262, is what I'm going to go with. And that number, my brothers and sisters, is a problem. What the Spirit is asking me to say to you today is sharp. Sharp things cut and draw blood. So it might be that today you are cut, and your blood is drawn. And I shudder at the thought of cutting and drawing blood, mainly because I'm a coward, and I don't want you to dislike me. The thought that you might walk out of this Mass grumbling about that stinking deacon causes me no small anxiety, but that's for me to get over, and get over it I must. My prayer is always that I say something that God's people need to hear, and God's people need to hear this. In today's first reading, the prophet Amos, who was active about 750 years before Jesus was born, laments the mediocrity and the disorder of the people of Israel, whose impatience for the Sabbath to be over causes them to view the Sabbath not as a gift that enables them to appreciate God's mercy more and to become more like God, because, after all, even God rested, but as an unwelcome fetter that keeps them from doing the things they'd much rather be doing. Worship of God had become for Israel not the spring of life that kept them alive, but an unwelcome imposition, a burden on their freedom, and an inconvenient obligation to be gotten over with as soon as possible, so that they can go back to what's really important to them. I don't know why 2,262 of our brothers and sisters in Christ are not here every week. Sunday Mass is the bare minimum with which the Church obliges her sons and daughters to attend. And if you're a Catholic and you call yourself a Catholic, you are saying implicitly that you will accept this obligation and endeavor to fulfill it, not just because it's an obligation, but because it's an opportunity. My fear is that for at least 2,262 parishioners at St. Anne, Sunday Mass is a burden on freedom and an inconvenience. I am afraid that for at least 2,262 parishioners, what's really important to them is not that we feed upon the body and blood of our Lord and God and give to him the adoration that he has a right to. And that's the thing. God wants you, all of you. There are 168 hours in a week, and God really wants all of them from you. This 1 hour we spend together is supposed to be a kind of symbol of what the other 167 hours are like. The 1 hour here is supposed to enrich and fortify and sustain the other 167. How can 168 hours be enriched and sustained and fortified by nothing? Simply put, they can't. And that causes me fear and grief for those 2,262. What sustains and fortifies and enriches them? I'm afraid that it's something that Jesus tells us that we should hate, because it is a master that has set itself up as a rival to Jesus himself. But I also fear and grieve for however many of us are here being enriched and fortified and sustained. These 2,262 are our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and their absence affects us. The body of Christ cannot be complete if some of its members, 2,262 of its members, are absent. That's the problem. Here's where you're part of the solution. And this has to be at the heart of St. Anne Parish's efforts at formation. Formation is not just teaching our kids about the faith. Formation includes that, and you who are parents to young children have to know that you bear that responsibility. But for each of us, and it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 48 or 80, if your kids still live at home, or if your kids have kids in a home of their own, part of the formation we need to provide is to those 2,262 parishioners who are not crowding us in on Sundays. This formation is not so much a lesson about what the Church teaches, but an invitation back into the beating heart of the life of faith and grace that is the Sunday Mass. At the end of this Mass, Deacon John will dismiss you, saying something like, "Go and announce the gospel of the Lord." And friends, there are 2,262 Catholics who need to hear that gospel announced to them because they're not here. So often we can think of announcing the gospel to those who need it as telling someone who's not Catholic or who's not Christian about the truth of the faith, but it also has to include telling those who already know the truth of the faith but have forgotten it or who are ignoring it that it's time to come back home. what we get to witness here, the most unbelievable miracle known to human history, happens at each Mass when Christ becomes our food. And the joy, the grace, the mercy, the gift of this Mass is the most important thing. Full stop. I don't know who all of these 2,262 people are, and you likely don't either, but I'm guessing you know one or two of them. And if this invitation back into the beating heart of the life of faith and grace isn't made to this one or two that you know, I'm afraid it won't be made at all. So here's my hope for the next 10 years, a hope that is rooted squarely in you doing this. It's that in 2035, in St. Anne Parish, four Masses just aren't enough. The demand for Masses is so great that we have to add more. Part of my hope is that there are so many fervent Catholics in Broken Arrow, either whom you have brought to the faith or have brought back to the faith, that we have to build St. Stanley Rother Parish so that all of these Catholics who are bursting the seams of the parishes we already have can have a parish home that fits them too. My hope is that as a people of God, we are so well formed that we understand what it is we receive during this time, and we allow it to radiate into every corner and crevice of our lives. And people who meet Broken Arrow Catholics notice that there's something different about us. Joy, tranquility, peace, yes, but also zeal and passion and an ardent desire for souls to come to Christ. Because if you do that, if we do that, we are 180 degrees opposite of what's going on in the book of Amos. The Lord could then look at us and say, not with anger or disappointment for our mediocrity, but through our zeal, to the praise and glory of His name, never will I forget a thing they have done.